So now we're going to the next panel on tourism. We are honored to have Minister Kundura with us again this year, and we thank her for her participation. Mr. Kosmopoulos, please come and take over to moderate the panel. We have a great panel. I see Miltos Kamburidis here, Mr. Vasilakis, Mr. Konstantakopoulos, and of course, Mr. Spiropoulos, who is very active in the space. So we are delighted to see you all. Alexander, please keep the time.
Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon and welcome to our discussion on investment opportunities in the tourism and the hospitality sector. My name is Alexandros Kosmopoulos. I'm a partner with the Greek law, the Athens-based law firm of Alexiou Kosmopoulos. It is my pleasure and privilege to be moderating this distinguished panel. Those of you who are familiar with the hospitality space and the territory can tell that this is a super panel put together by the organizers. Many thanks to the organizers for summoning these forces, and many thanks to all of our distinguished panel members for making themselves available for the event. What is special in that panel is that it brings together decision makers from the public sector and decision makers from the private sector. And as regards the benefits of this, the aim of this panel is to give you an opportunity to acquaint yourselves with both the policy initiatives of the Greek government, as well as the experiences and that successful investors can share about Greece, the opportunities, the risks, and what they have achieved doing business in Greece. May I present Ms. Elena Kundura, the Minister of Tourism, will be speaking briefly on the policy initiatives. Mr. Achilleas Konstantakopoulos, you're all familiar with him. He is the chairman and CEO of TEMES SA, one of the leading developers, most famous for their investment in Costa Navarino, but also most recently as a successful lead co-investor for the Athens Hilton investment. We have Mr. Miltos Kamburidis, who is the founder and managing partner of Dolphin Capital Investors. He's very familiar with Greece and has a lot to tell us about the high-end niche investment segment. Mr. Spiros Spiropoulos is a senior advisor at Oaktree Capital, and he's keenly familiar with investment opportunities in Greece. And Mr. Eftichios Vasilakis will shed some light on the workings of the services industry, benefiting from his great success as a leader of Aegean Aviation, Olympic Air, Herzl Hellas. Many thanks to the organizers. Without further ado, I would like to give the floor to Minister Ms. Kundura to deliver her keynote speech to this audience. Thank you.
First of all, I would like to thank you for the opportunity at this highly respected and productive forum to present the latest developments in the Greek tourism environment and all the new prospects for growth and new investments opportunities that have occurred. Greece is moving forward. Our government focus on achieving growth, and the positive changes we brought have been recognized by international institutions. Markets show trust. Credibility is being restored. We have worked forwards, establishing a stable, friendly, and extroverted environment for business in Greece, and empowered, at the same time, the perception of our country as a pole of stability and a bridge for new synergies and development projects in the wider area. In this new era, tourism has emerged as a key sector for growth, following the records-breaking results we achieved in 2015. 2016 has been another record year. International arrivals are expected to increase by about 7% and reach 27.5 million visitors by the end of the year, including cruise arrivals, which have increased as well by 20%. In the past 2 years, the rate of growth in the Greek tourism sector has been significantly higher than the global average of tourism growth. The average global is 3 to 4%. Greek tourism growth is 7 to 8%. The General Secretary of the Worldwide, Mr. Taleb Rifai, in his public references, has referred to Greece as an example of success, as a case study, because we managed, through all our political operations, communications level, to address external challenges, and we managed crisis effectively and be able to achieve record-breaking results. We have worked intensively towards strengthening cooperation with international travel market stakeholders who demonstrate a strong commitment for tourism packages also for 2017, and pre-bookings as well for 2017 also are higher than last year. This is the result of a very specific strategic choices and targeted actions through our national tourism policy to enrich the offering of our tourism product and empower its competitiveness through extending the official season, promoting themed tourism products, introducing new Greek destinations, and opening new dynamic source markets abroad. The past 2 years, besides the growth in numbers, we worked towards opening new horizons for our tourism products. We pursued and achieved for the first time the extension of our official tourism season from April to November. Our great success was that we focused on increasing air connectivity as the key of develop our holiday destination, and we negotiated with air carriers to add new direct flights and increase immediately tourist flows. Many new direct flights to Greece have been added in the last 2 years, and more have been scheduled for 2017 from our major source markets, but also new to our popular and emerging destinations such as Kalamata, Hileos Konstantakopoulos can talk to you about this, Chania, Samos, Skiathos, and Ionian Islands, to name a few. We especially reinforced our presence in the U.S. market, which we consider a priority market with a great potential to flourish in the coming years. Our policy was to increase the connectivity, and with the invaluable help of the Greek diaspora, we managed to have three American airlines in 2016 add direct flights to Greece, increasing, therefore, seat capacity and arrivals significantly. We strategically invested in opening new markets, new destination of tourists, of high income and high travel, such as the Middle East, China, South Korea, and Russia. In the past, many investors had been discouraged, unfortunately, for many different reasons. But today, this all has changed. The mentality has changed, and we have made significant steps for major reforms to create a friendly environment for investments that will transform the travel industry. We brought changes in our framework to solve bureaucratic problems and facilitate the licensing of business in different sectors of the travel industry. Our one-stop-shop service department at the Ministry of Tourism supports fast-track and more efficient procedures to investors in all stages of licensing, including coordination with other ministries and competent bodies. In 2016, our department received 142 proposals for hotels and special tourism infrastructures. Of these projects, 101 are proposals for 4- and 5-star hotels of capacity of more than 300 beds, including new and existing hotels, intending to upgrade and expand. In the previous year, more than 80 new 4- and 5-star hotels began operating across the country. New large-scale investments are underway in Rhodes, in Evia, Laconia, Crete, and 16 integrated resorts are in various stages of licensing across Greece. The new development plan of Astir Palace, as well as the Hellenicon, are a concrete example of the confidence international investors now demonstrate. Following the ratification by the Greek Parliament of contracts for the concession of the 14 regional airports leased to Fraport Greece, a 400 million euros investment is immediately planned for terminals, facelift and shopping centers, as well as the expansion of air connections and the attractions of an even larger number of airlines. Also, our strategic investor, Costco, plans new investments and aims to more than double cruise arrivals, up to 3 million passengers. For us, it's a big priority to further develop our cruise industry and become a cruise hub in the Med and Europe. Being the third most popular cruise destination in Europe and a country of more than 100 inhabited islands, we are currently working on strategically strengthening popular port destination across Greece, and we want to add and offer new cruise destinations. Also, a significant number of marinas are available for potential investors in different parts of the country, especially in islands, and in our tourist policy, we have focused to boost City Break. The City Break tourism is very important. Athens has seen a yearly growth of about 8% in arrivals in the past 2 years and has also become a hub for new tourism investments. 7 new designers and boutique hotels entered to the cityscape this year, and more are set to open in 2017, including international chains. The Stavros Niarchos Foundation Cultural Center, one of the country's largest infrastructure projects, will fully operate in 2017, housing the Greek National Opera and 2 million book national library and the 170,000 square meters park. The Greek tourism product is the most attractive field for potential investors, and we're here to help with the projects to go through as we pursue the further increase international arrivals at an average rate between 5 and 10% on a yearly base, and also increase the average of travel per capita expenditure of visitors. Our core strategy for 2017-2020 is to reposition Greece brand name as a global attractive destination by upgrading the sea and the sun products, being the most diverse complex of islands in the Med, but also to promote the authentic travel experience that we offer 365 days a year. To this end, we aim to develop tailor-made products, not only for sea and sun, that we're very known about, but also for cultural tourism, pilgrimage tourism, MICE tourism, luxury tourism, cruise and yachting, diving, medical tourism, spas and wellness, city breaks and gastronomy. Through the EU funding programs, we mobilize new funds for projects in a special tourism infrastructure, including ski resorts and theme parks. We also work on a strategy plan for the period 2017-2020 to transform the way business is done through extensive use of technology and innovation. Now is the time to invest in the Greek tourism sector and explore all opportunities that have recently arisen. Investors who seek good deals now will see results and be rewarded in a short mid-term period. Tourism is the bridge for mobilizing new major investments in sectors such as agriculture, energy, trade, and new technologies. We invite you all to explore the opportunities to invest in Greece and in this new dynamic environment that we create of low risk and high return. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Minister. Turning on to our guests, Mr. Achilleas Konstantakopoulos, you have had experience with your investment in Costa Navarino. It's a textbook example of how a private initiative can transform an entire area. I would like you to comment on what has just been said about the evolution of transport infrastructure and how it has affected access to your investment. Thank you.
Thank you. Hello? Yes, thank you. Thank you also to organizers for the kind invitation. Indeed, actually we had even a great event a few months ago opening the British market in Kalamata and the Peloponnese, and we saw great success still there, you know. Many airlines started flying as well to Kalamata. Kalamata actually has been, before Costa Navarino opened in 2009, 1 year before, there were a bit more than 200 flights a year in Kalamata. Now it's more than 1,200 from 25 international destinations. So it has been the fastest growing airport in Greece, and I think in 2014 was actually proved to be the third fastest growing airport in Europe among 300 airports in 43 countries. Of course, you know, Aegean Airlines being present also here, Mr. Vassilakis, has been of paramount importance in opening a new destination in Greece, especially after the taking over of Olympic, and have grown tremendously. So we have seen a growth of new destinations in the Peloponnese. I'm sure Mr. Kaboulidis will speak also about that area as well. But we have had also because we have some golf courses that we have invested in Costa Navarino, we have seen tremendous demand for that. And we have actually been able to operate almost for 9 months now, opening in the end of February and closing down at the end of November. And every year we add 1 week or 2 weeks in the seasonality of Costa Navarino, of the region.
Thank you very much. I think by way of relevance, I would like to address the next question to Mr. Vassilakis and talk about his views on the impact of modernization of the Greek airports, starting with the airports concession, and how this will affect the future in your industry as an aviation business.
Yeah. Well, it's clear that other than stability and product development, which of course are the two key items, infrastructure is what enables airlines and customers to come. So going back in 2001 when New Athens Airport was developed, that was a big upgrade for Athens, but at the time it was effectively priced out of the market because it was too expensive. So in the current environment, the most important element of this privatization of Fraport to the 14 airports, so the regional airports that are going to be taken over in 2 months, is that the state this time around has managed to combine getting a very high price for the airports, the participation in the profit, with a very specific limit in the cap of charges that customers and airlines will have to pay when using the airports. So Fraport is committed to making investments for the upgrade, but it's also committed in keeping competitive charges. That means that you're not going to backtrack in development. You're going to have an improvement in quality and an improvement in traffic, hopefully happening at the same time. And, of course, that's key. And the important thing for the rest of the aviation infrastructure is that the government realizes that this model should be emulated in other things. This is the way to get Athens to be even more dynamic, and this is the way to deal with other projects that are major in Greece, such as Heraklio Kasteli, which is being dealt with now. The difficulty is for the government not to forget the lessons. The lessons are that you need long duration for the project, a profile of charges and investment that makes sense, and then between the duration and the right balance between these two, you can have a very positive outcome.
Thank you very much. I think this also is a good response to what we heard in an earlier panel about respecting the investor and actually offering a profit-sharing mechanism that incentivizes a long-term growth. If I may turn now to Mr. Kambourides, you have, to some extent, you have established a speciality in greenfield developments, a strong preference for these in Greece, and you are also best placed to discuss the benefits of partnering with international high luxury brands. Can you please comment on that?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Kosmopoulos. Hello, and thanks to the organizers for this great event. From my perspective, when it comes to investment opportunities in tourism and hospitality, I see the segment with the highest supply and demand imbalance being the one for luxury branded resorts. I think the benefits are so obvious. It's a country so well known to the rich and famous, such as Greece, not to have luxury brands, for me, is inconceivable. It's like walking down Fifth Avenue here and not seeing any European luxury brands. Fifth Avenue wouldn't be Fifth Avenue without the brands, and it wouldn't be so expensive, popular, and desirable. So you need to bring these brands to Greece, because these brands create a hype and attract the affluent customers. And the focus of Greece, in my view, should be quality and not quantity. We should be measuring our visitors with the amount of euros they spend per day and not how many millions go through our borders. So integrated resorts such as Costa Navarino and other high-end resorts such as Sani and Nikos, and, of course, resorts such as Amanzoi, I think are aiming towards that direction. I think there is a slide somewhere that shows... The next one. That shows one. These are all the luxury brands in the world. You'll see that only two are currently operating in Greece. So I think this picture says it all, that the focus of investment should go into these brands.
Thank you. I think this point was also highlighted by Mr. Chrysikos as part of the previous panel. I remember there's an intention to focus in that area on behalf of Greek REITs. Thank you. Mr. Spiros Spiropoulos, I would like to change the subject now and just request your expertise discussing with international investors and ask for your thoughts about the relative attractiveness in your mind and based on your discussion with international investors of acquiring existing opportunities relating to existing businesses or existing assets versus greenfield development. Where do you think that the promise of value is more pronounced?
Sure. Thanks. Thanks, Alex. Can you hear me?
Hello.
Yeah. So I think the asset attractiveness actually mostly depends on each investor strategy, on their target returns as well as their risk appetite. On the one hand, you may consider buying existing well-operated hotels, but that should be relatively simple. But it should be reflected in the price that you pay. You may look to do a repositioning story, but then you have to consider you have to both buy the asset, spend significant capex to rebuild it. So you better have a very good angle as to how to operate better than the current situation. And then obviously you have greenfield developments, and they are cheaper, of course, but they're also more risky. And you have to take a view whether how much time will be required and the type of patience that you need. So at the end of the day, each situation presents its own merits and its own risks, and it's up to the investor to see how these can benchmark against their own strategy.
Thank you very much. Mr. Konstantakopoulos, I think if we try to go deeper into the asset class selection paradigm, you can share with us two different experiences. One is your Costa Navarino investment, and another one is your Athens Hilton investment. In both cases, you have partnered with international investors. I think what the audience probably want to hear most is, first, what what has been your experience and what have been the factors attracting international investors to partner with Temes? And second, how do the opportunities compare? You have an urban setting and you have the seaside resort setting.
Thank you. Well, first of all, regarding Costa Navarino, yes, you're right. We had the pleasure and the privilege to join forces with the Olayan Group about 2 years ago, as I said, coming in to have a strategic partnership for tourism investments in Greece. I think what they saw, in especially in the Peloponnese in general, it's one of the few places in Europe which is still relatively unspoiled, but at the same time very easily accessible. It's serviced both by Kalamata and by Athens Airport, and as I was explaining before, out of those 1,200 new flights, only 13% of those come to Costa Navarino, the arrivals. I mean, almost 9 out of 10 people travel to the rest of the Peloponnese. So it is definitely an area which will grow in the future in Greece. I think it's probably the area with the most potential to grow in Greece, and I think that's what our partners and investors also show. The one thing that I think attracted a lot of investors as well in Greece is this new integrated resort or mixed-use resort or hotel, actually, planning, as was said. Both, you know, the Astir, the Hilton, we just invented that, Costa Navarino, and other integrated resorts and mixed-use resorts, which combine the use of hotels and homes. This was not possible up until, you know, 4 or 5 years ago in Greece. So, and it was very, very few second homes and very few apartments to be sold to foreigners. So if one considers that Greece's beachfront is as big as Spain and Portugal and probably part of France altogether, there is a huge potential there. So I think there has been, as I said before, so Peloponnese, I think it's what our investors saw. Now, if you consider also our partnership with Togus Group to acquire the Ioniki Hotel Enterprises, which is the owner of the Hilton, part of that story also was the conversion of a lot of units into condos, which is possible through this new mixed-use development laws, as I said. But I think also we saw that Athens has one of the lowest hotel average rates in Europe, and if you consider that you know that the growth that we have been seeing in the past in the Athens area with all these new investments now coming into Ellinikon and other projects, we strongly believe that Athens and Attica in general will be a huge growth story in the not too distant future, and we definitely believe that this could be a good opportunity. Our partner there also, Dogus Group, is an international group with a lot of experience in international F&B and hotel. So I think they also see what Miltos was saying, that the luxury product, the affluent luxury traveler is not well serviced in Greece. And we believe that this will happen pretty soon.
Thank you very much. By way of follow-up, Mr. Kamburidis, assuming a similar opportunity to invest in a luxury, high-end niche hotel or resort presents itself, what does it take on the part of the luxury branding grantor to trust the Greek operator, to trust the Greek business? What has been your experience? What are the key ingredients for success?
Well, obviously, track record plays an important role. The first resort is always the most difficult one. When you do one and this is established, then that attracts other luxury brands for additional developments. Obviously, it's not just the partner that is important. It's also the site, the prospects, the budget, and generally the an integrated plan whereby the luxury operator will know that the development will be completed in time and they will have the proper maintenance going forward. Because for a luxury operator to associate itself and put its name on a development, they have to be sure that this is not going to damage the brand.
Thank you very much. Spiros Spiropoulos, I will now have to ask you to recall your days as a banker and ask you, actually, what we've seen a relative We've seen a lack of availability of sufficient bank debt recently in Greece to leverage the business to ensure that there are appropriate returns. In your experience, what are the key constraints in raising bank debt specifically for the hospitality and tourism sector? And is this also a concern for the high-quality sponsors, high-quality investment principals?
Well, Alex, I'm going to take a different perspective here. I think the situation at the Greek banks is gradually improving, has been improving, and will continue to improve. I think capital and liquidity is much better than it was a few years ago, and the banks will consider the right projects with the right credit profile. What I mean by that is they need strong cash flow, they need strong demand, equity, and a sponsor that is willing to support the project for its life. And they're generally positive, I think, for the sector, as it has been growing, as we've said. I think the biggest issue that investors face in Greece today, if they have good projects, is the cost of debt. And it's relatively higher than the other places in Europe, and the reason for that is multiple. The reasons are multiple. First, the bank's own cost of capital is higher compared to the European counterparts, reflecting the Greek situation. But also, I feel that it has to do with the supply and demand dynamics. We have few banks that are lending against available projects, and that creates a high cost of debt in itself. So my hope and expectation, in a way, is that as the Greek economy improves, we'll have both the effect of the cost of capital of the banks to go down, but also more lenders willing to come to Greece to lend against Greek projects, and that will help both availability but also cost of debt to come down, and that would be very good.
Thank you very much. Mr. Vasilakis, we've heard Mr. Konstantakopoulos make specific reference to the potential of Athens as an urban destination. Do you share the view that this is a promise, and based on your perspective from the aviation front, what would you comment?
Before answering, allow me to digress for a minute to add a couple of comments that I wanted to make. I think through what other people have said, a couple of things are clear. In the last few years, we've seen that also in tourism, size matters. We have seen it because by consolidating two airlines, we've managed to grow at a time when the economy was weak and the Greek consumer was weak, and we've been able to add routes, destinations. At the same time, it's very relevant for being able to do branding, because branding is important to import, but it's even more important to create. So Mr. Konstantakopoulos is actually developing a brand or branding an area, is making giving a character to a certain area. Mr. Spiropoulos with Oak Tree and Sunny and Ecos are creating a Greek brand. So it's great to bring in other brands, but it's also important to develop our own flair. It's why we go into so much trouble into putting Greek products on the plane, Greek wines, give you a feel that you're actually entering Greece when you're entering the plane. So yes, size matters because you're able to make investments, you're able to invest in branding, not only your short-term, needs, and at the same time, because it can actually allow parties like those sitting at this table work together to develop regions or help Greek tourism. And Athens is a good example. I hope that now that such big developments are taking place in Athens, like the Elliniko, like the Purchase of the Hilton, the Astier, that there will be parties coming together with us and others to invest in a common communication platform that will allow Athens to go higher. And indeed, I'm happy to say that I know the mayor is going to announce such an initiative, which I understand the Ministry of Tourism also wants to adopt and support 3 days from now. And actually, the seed money from that initially came from Bloomberg, so it's even New York-related, so very apropos to mention today. So yes, I think Athens is the least developed of major destinations. It's the easiest one to extend the season because it never obviously closes down. There is a very interesting rebirth in the center of Athens that we all need to support. And between the investment of these gentlemen and others in Athens of smaller scale, what the capacity of the airport, the centering of the airlines, and our own in particular over there, I think there's a lot of work to be done, and the potential is very substantial, especially if we find a great communication platform to promote what Athens can become.
Thank you. I think this joining of forces between the private sector and the public sector, you referred to your discussions with the mayor of Athens. I think I would also like to hear from Mr. Konstantakopoulos what has been his experience about the effects of your investment in the larger region of Messenia, and how have you perceived the effects and the benefits spreading across the wider area?
As Mr. Vasilak said, the cooperation between the private and public sector is very important, and I think we see tangible results happening from it. I mean, in our case, we saw that our investment has, you know, the impact of our investment in the region was about 1 billion until now euros, and now it's running at about 120 million per year. But if we consider some new investments we want to create as well, which is about 250 million, we think that, you know, this region will become a new destination actually in the Mediterranean. But as I said before, we had very good cooperation with the prefecture, with local municipalities, and of course with the Ministry of Tourism, and also other business companies, and of course Aegean Airlines and other airlines. So I think that putting things together, scale matters, as Mr. Vasilak said before, and we have started creating, you know, structures like that in Greece. It was not very common in the past, but we have seen it's happening. It created success stories, which now people are trying to take advantage of and go more on things like that. So there are practical facts and things that happened that show good practices that can be repeated.
I think we have just time for perhaps a single answer before the end of time, and we need to be strict about that. You may want to answer this, Ms. Minister, or not. I understand you're very active having meetings here in New York, and I think one good question would be, what is the feedback you have been receiving? What do your counterparts ask you about? What are the key concerns, and how do you think this will affect your policy in 2017?
It's important for us to continue this success of the 2015-2016 of bringing more tourists to Greece, but at the same time create this environment of a friendly environment for investments, because we need to have the capacity as well. And I will agree that we would love to have, and we need to have, the luxury brands, but at the same time, we make clear that we want to have the authentic Greece and also give the opportunity to the middle-class business and boutique hotels and family business in all these islands, that they're very traditional and beautiful. And this is one of the reasons that people want to come and see Greece. So we need to keep the balance. We want the luxury, but we want also the luxury in the middle class. The second thing that I would like to say is that tourism is the bridge that open up business in agriculture, trade, and energy as well. So we want to bring more people to invest in Greece and make sure that everything will be in the Greek economy that, as everybody said, improves. And we hope the next few years tourism to have a really strong role in this development. At the same time, there are so many other opportunities. And I mentioned marinas. We have to know that all these beautiful islands in Greece, that we have very safe and wonderful waters, and at the same time the cruise industry really invest as a strategic choice and third choice in the world, has this opportunity to become bigger and bigger. Why? Because our islands, they're very close one to the other. And as I said, and I will repeat, they're very safe waters. You can travel at night and be there in the morning. So all the clients to really enjoy the islands while they travel at night. And at the same time, the marinas in the islands and in the mainland are very important, because yachting can be really very strong product in Greece for the same reasons. So I think that right now, because Greece is in the direction that growth and opportunities arise, they have to, all the potential investors, to consider that these opportunities that we have right now in our beautiful country will be in the future win-win. So I invite you all to consider Greece as a great opportunity for investment, and I think that you will not regret. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Many thanks to all speakers. I think we have exceeded our time, and Minister Stathakis is the lunch with Mr. Minister Stathakis is the next stop, I think, for this. Thank you.